a second. Woo! I had to jog in place right there. Oh my God. I really did, because I'm so excited about what God is saying about the Isle of Patmos. You got to understand here, and I'll give you the historical clause, and then we'll get into what God is really saying. But Patmos is a small island, and it's about 10 miles by 6 miles in the Aegean Sea, located about 37 miles southwest in Miletus. The Romans used such places for political exiles. And it says here that John's mention of the island in Revelation 1 and 9 probably means that he was such a prisoner. We know that he was, having been sent there for preaching the gospel. And according to Eusebius, an early church father, he wrote that John was sent to Patmos by Emperor Domitian in AD 95 and released after 1.5 years. What I want you to do, because the Holy Ghost is so real, I want you to actually go back 1.5 years, if you can, from this time. Go back 1 year. You know, it's about to be November, so go back 1 year. And then go back 6 more months. Woo! I can't even really do this the way I really want to. But if you do, you would understand that you are about to come off the Isle of Patmos. You've actually been there a little while. Don't even realize it, but you have. You've been going through the process. Patmos means path, but Patmos means the place of my killing. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to fuse in another lesson that's coming. So I'm going to drop some little things from another lesson called the Dominion of the Garden. Because in order to really understand the Isle of Patmos, you got to understand the Garden of Eden. You got to understand the Garden of Gethsemane, which is on the Mount of Olives. And then you have to understand then the Isle of Patmos. Now, it wasn't a garden. It was a very bleak place. But once you understand dominion, you understand that you legislate it. You publish it. You produce dominion. You reproduce dominion. You're not waiting on God to give it to you. God's waiting on you to produce it. He's waiting you to publish it. He's waiting you to produce it, to birth it out. But let's go to Revelation chapter 1. And we're going to start at verse 9. Now, reading from the Amplified Bible tonight for a certain reason. For a reason. Because I want this to enlarge. I want you to really, really get this, okay? It says, I, John, your brother and companion, sharer and participator with you in the tribulation and kingdom and patient endurance, which are in Christ Jesus, or Jesus Christ, was on the isle called my killing. Patmos. Banished on account of my witnessing to the word of God and the testimony, the proof, the evidence for Jesus Christ. I got to hit that even before I go to verse 10 to say I was in the spirit. What gives you permission to be in the spirit is that you were crushed. You were, oh God. We're going to get into the dominion of the garden, but Gethsemane, if you look at the Garden of Gethsemane, Gethsemane is on the Mount of Olives. The Garden of Gethsemane is on the Mount of Olives. That's the place where people think that Jesus died on the cross, but Jesus actually died to his will, actually before the foundation of the world, but he died in the Garden of Gethsemane. His will died. Will really, really gave up in the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane means the oil press. Whew. Now, if that's the place where he died, if you keep reading on in your Bible history, you find out that the Mount of Olives is the place where Jesus is going to also return. After the millennial reign of Christ and Revelation, all those years, that is where that New Jerusalem is going to come down. And he's going to come down right in the place where he died. So I got to tell you, the place that you've been for the past 1.5 years, God is having you to return, but you're returning under a new name, which means you're returning under a new authority and a new power. God was processing you in that place. You cursed it. You cursed it. And you almost died in that place. But thanks be to God that God allowed you to continue to live. Listen to me. John, see, when you're placed on an island, when you're placed on the Isle of Patmos, and I begin to feel like that myself. I'm like, God, everybody I thought was with me is turned against me. They've lifted their heel against me, God. I feel surrounded. I feel by myself in this little place. I feel by myself like no one can get to me. And people that was calling ain't calling no more. Folk I was calling, I'm not calling anymore. People I thought that I needed, I found out I didn't need it all. God will just cut away stuff I can't even go into the way I want to. Because if you understood that God was isolating you to give you power, you don't isolate yourself. God brings you from amongst your brethren, from amongst your peers, and then he isolates you in a place that seemingly is bleak. But after a while, it becomes your place of rulership. It becomes your place where you set up a throne and a seat, and you begin to rule. You begin to reign, and you begin to rest. You see, we always say at the end of, benedictions, I pray that we just rest, rule, and abide. But there is a power to resting, ruling, and abiding. And you can't rest, you can't rule, you can't abide without a seat, without a scepter, and without a signet ring. We're going to really, really be digging into that in a little bit about authority in the gospel, authority in the power of God, authority in the spirit. Because you can't do nothing without authority. You have all the power in the world. But if you ain't no authority, you are illegal. Oh, God. Not just from having a covering and from your pastor and from your bishop. That is the second level of spiritual protocol. If you don't know how to submit to God first, then you can never submit to a man. You can't submit to who you see unless you submit to who you cannot see. And that's God the Father. Help me today, God. It said that John, the apostle, one of the sons of Zebedee, brother of James, who was also called one of the sons of thunder, keyword there for some people that know my beginnings, the sons of thunder. Hallelujah. That's a name that Jesus gave them because of their fiery fury and wrath. They do anything for Jesus. You know, every time you see Jesus going somewhere, all disciples didn't go. It wasn't always, the 120 that got filled was not always with Jesus. The 72 that went out were not always with Jesus. The 12 disciples that became the 12 apostles were not always with Jesus. But the people that were most times always with Jesus was his three, was his little entourage, was Jesus's little, his roll dogs. It was always Peter, James, and John. And they were always around where Jesus was. And John was one of the disciples that lived on. And he survived past all of their martyrings and their deaths. So he became a living martyr. But you were only placed on the Isle of Patmos for doing magic, sorcery, or operating in some prophetic realm. Or in prophecy, or some kind of power that they didn't understand. It was just the power of Jesus, just the power of God operating through the gospel of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. They didn't understand that. So because John operated in prophecy, they said, okay, we got to exile him. But what really, when I started doing the history and a little bit of the background, that John, because of his testifying, and it says right here, because of his testimony of the word of God and Jesus Christ. See, some of us know the words of God, but we don't know the word of God. We don't know Jesus. We think we know Jesus because of our church association and what we do at church and who we think we are. But honey, you don't know the word until the word nearly kills you. And I really got to say, like, people don't understand that. What do you mean? What are you saying? God releases certain experiences on your life because you can take it. You're not taking it for yourself. You're the vessel that the revelation has to come out of. But if there is no hell, if there is no trouble, if there is no turbulence in, oh God, then the revelation will never come out. The oil will never flow. The anointing will never arrive. So God said, I got to press it out of you. Isaiah 53 talks about how it pleased God to crush Jesus. Oh, to crush him, to knock him out of the socket, to totally grind him into powder, to make him unimaginably unrecognizable as who he was before he went through the process. So that means who you're going to be after the process is not who you started. It's not where you started. Ooh, and it's not always who you started with. Oh my God, my God, my God. We're going to get into the supernatural testimony, and you'll see how John survived to tell the story in Revelation. The Isle of Patmos. Come on back for clip 3.